Blog Talk Radio.
WAMS Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Burke Allen, broadcasting live from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And joining us on the phone from Boston, the author of the new book, Dory Witt's Guide to Surviving Bullies. It's a bullying survival guide actually written by a middle schooler. Bridget Berman is our guest. Hi, Bridget. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, tell me about the book.
Well, Dory Witt's Guide to Surviving Bullying is a fictional book about a girl named Dory Witt and how, during a year in either middle school or grade school, she survives bullying. And not only is it a diary of her life story, also at the end of each chapter, there's an analysis about her looking over and deciding how problems should have been handled, and usually it's different than how she handled them.
If you'd like to talk with Bridget, our telephone number is 718-506-1944. 718-506-1944. It's a free call in the New York City metropolitan area and nationwide. We'd love to hear from you. You can also catch up with us on our chat room at WAMSblogtalkradio.com. Well, Dory Witt is a fictional character, but Bridget, is there some of you in Dory?
Well, when you write fiction, you take a little bit of your life and put it into it. But all the things that happened to Dory was fictional. But like Dory, I did suffer bullying. But I think that currently in our world, there are very few people who don't either witness bullying, partake in bullying, or are victims of bullying themselves.
Now, this is a pretty amazing thing, Bridget, you have to admit, because, you know, most other young people, and you are how old now, 15, is that right?
Yes, I am 15.
And you wrote the book when you were 14?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, most 14-year-olds, let's face it, and I know because I've had a couple, are hanging out at the mall or texting their buddies, not sitting down and writing a book. So how did this all come to be that you said, you know, I'm going to write a book about all this?
Well, I am a normal 15-year-old. I was a normal 14-year-old. And
yeah.
I realized that whether it be on the news or just in my current life, I noticed there was bullying going on. And I wondered, is anyone else noticing this? And I kind of felt sad. I was like, well, shouldn't we do something? Shouldn't we try to stop this? And so I made a questionnaire and survey, and I administered it online and in focus groups, which is where, you know, we get together and we talk about bullying, write down our answers. And it turned out everybody was feeling the same way I did. We all felt, all right, there's bullying going on. We're not doing anything to stop it. And unknowingly, we're part of the problem. So I said, I want to do something. And I always liked writing, so I decided to write a book.
So you're 14 years old, and you put together a focus group.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Bridget. Wow. I'm going to absolutely be voting for you for president one day. Our guest is Bridget Berman. The book is Dory Witt's Guide to Surviving Bullies. And Bridget, as a 14-year-old, rolled up her sleeves and decided to write this book about how to survive bullying. And Bridget, give us a couple of tips. What can you tell us that you learned in these focus groups, if you will, that you did with your buddies to help shut down bullying?
Well, I learned that we don't always know when we're bullying. And so it's important to realize that there might be a problem going on, but it's important to step back and realize you could be making it worse. So important things to remember are, if you feel like you're being victimized, look at the problem and realize, am I egging someone on? And am I saying rude things? am I, you know, fighting back in the same way that they are fighting me? And if you step back and realize that you are doing these things and you stop and the bully's behavior persists, then it's important that you tell them to stop. And as we often know, that doesn't work. And so at that point, it's very important to contact an adult, whether it be a principal, a teacher, a counselor, a parent, a guardian, an older sibling, someone who can help stop the situation. Because sometimes we don't really notice that a problem is bad until it's at the point where we can't do anything. So if you stop it before it gets too bad, then usually the problem won't continue. Also, it's important if you're bystanding and you witness bullying that you do something. Because often people think if you're a bystander, you're innocent. But as I mentioned in my book through a whole chapter, there is no such thing as an innocent bystander. And it's important that when you see something happening, you either intervene and say, you know what, come on, guys, we're too mature for this. This is stupid. Let's just stop. Or if you don't feel safe intervening, you should get an adult involved who will help. Because oftentimes, destructive things happen because no one steps in and just says stop. Because we don't realize that one voice really can make a difference.
Richard Berman is our guest on WAMS Radio. We're talking about her book about surviving bullying, especially, I guess, as a middle schooler. This is where you got really interested in the topic. And Bridget, you can tell me, we're just amongst friends here, were you a victim or more of a victimizer when it came to bullying in middle school?
Like, in the situation, I wasn't a victimizer as opposed to being more of a victim, but there are situations where I felt like I was being victimized, but I was just making the fire or the problem worse. You know, if you feel like someone's being mean to you and saying cruel words, you know, the best thing isn't to say, well, you're weird too, you know, that's not really how problems should be dealt with. But I did realize that when I took myself away from the situation, I felt better about myself and was able to deal with the problem more clearly because I wasn't doing anything to create, you know, make the problem worse and bigger.
A lot of drama in middle school. Would you say that that adds a lot to it?
Yes. Middle school is just like, could be its own theater. It's full of drama. And it's hard because a lot of people don't like drama. You have, you know, a few people who love it and they thrive on it and they want to make it worse. And then you have those people who just want to stay away from it, which is very difficult because when you're in middle school and you feel like this is just so stupid, I want to get out of here, you feel like there's no one else who feels that way and understands. But really, there are so many people who are feeling the same way that you do. People all across America in middle school are having difficulties and hate it. If you talk to people in high school and out of high school, they say, middle school, I would never go back. And trust me, it gets better. We need to persevere through middle school, but also realize that no one has the right to treat you a way that makes you feel bad about yourself. And if they do treat you that way, they have to stop.
Good words of advice from Bridget Berman. She is the 15-year-old author of Dory Witt's Guide to Surviving Bullies, available at dorywitt.com and bookstores everywhere. And Bridget, the book that you wrote with the fictional character of Dory Witt, you wrote that in diary form. Do you keep a diary yourself?
Well, I've always wanted to keep a diary, but I don't really have like the persistency, you know, to like every day write what I'm feeling. But in middle school, I was kind of having trouble with the whole middle school drama, as we say, and my mom encouraged me to write down my feelings, and so that's what I did. I wrote them down, and Dory Witt's diary is not derived from my diary, but it helped me, you know, flesh out my feelings, and when you put your feelings down on paper, it's a lot easier because you don't take them out anywhere else. When you yell at the paper, you don't, you know, yell at somebody else, and it calms you, and it releases a lot of stress and anxiety.
So maybe there's something to the whole diary-keeping thing to help as a release valve from some of that stress that you feel in middle school. Bridget Berman is our guest. If you'd like to talk with her, our number is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944, and folks are listening all over the world to WAMS and the Blog Talk Radio Network and to our podcast as well. You know, the whole bullying thing, Bridget, has been around probably as long as there have been kids, but there are new wrinkles now, like cyberbullying. And for those of us who are a little long in the tooth, what is cyberbullying?
Cyberbullying is using either basically internet, like a computer, a cell phone, any type of device that is not, you know, face-to-face. It's usually through maybe Facebook, texting, MySpace, Twitter, social networking sites. And on those social networking sites or texts or emails, you say rude things, you embarrass someone, you Photoshop pictures. It's basically hurting someone in a way that it makes it seems like it's untraceable, which really, surprisingly, is not true. A lot of people think cyberbullying is untraceable, but it is.
And you've got a couple of chapters in the book about a cyberbullying incident, and, you know, everything that you hear about on the news, you hear on the radio, you see in the newspaper, this is a real problem now, isn't it?
It really is a problem.
It really is a problem.
Because it's hard. How do you deal, you know, how do schools deal with this? How do parents deal with it? It doesn't happen in school. Then a lot of times parents don't know. You know, as teenagers and young adults, our first reaction to cyberbullying is, who would say something like this? What do I do? How do you even, like, react to it? You don't even know a lot of times. Well, sometimes you do, but many times you don't know who is targeting you. And sometimes it's been to the point where people leave schools because things are posted and blogged that just are cruel and unkind. And for parents listening, it's important, you know, a lot of times your child may not come and talk to you about cyberbullying, but when they do, listen, because if they're talking to you, it's past the point of ignoring, and you need to get more people involved, such as sometimes, you know, when it gets too bad, it's important to contact either the police. Or if you know who's cyberbullying you and a parent is a good friend of that parent, it's okay to talk to that parent.
Cyberbullying is a big part of the new book, Dory Witt's Guide to Surviving Bullies. And Bridget Berman is our guest. She is the author, and she's 15, so she knows this stuff firsthand. With cyberbullying, I would imagine that teens are no different than anyone else. They'll sort of hide behind that computer and say things that they would never say to someone in a face-to-face conversation.
That's true. I often call the computer, you know, it's like a screen. You know, when you look at the screen, you're not looking at someone's face. It's so much easier to say things, as you said, that you would never say to anyone to their face. And people who hide behind a computer screen or a phone screen or some screen, they're cowards because they're afraid to do it to someone's face, which is definitely not okay either. But with cyberbullying, it's so difficult because as a victim, you don't even know who's saying it. If you see someone's face, sometimes it's easier to envision the person and ignore the person or move on or get help. But when you're just seeing a computer screen, it can be interpreted in so many different ways. You don't know if it's sarcasm. You don't know how they're saying it. And usually we imagine it the most cruel possible way.
Bridget, for your own use, because, you know, all teenagers sort of feel like it is their patriotic duty and right to have a cell phone that allows texting and to have, a computer in their bedroom with instant messaging. How much of that stuff do you have, and how much of it do you think is good?
Well, I do have a cell phone, and originally when I had a cell phone, it was just for calling my parents for sports pickup. And I do use texting. I talk to my friends. But if I receive a text message from someone I do not know, I will not respond. And if I keep getting calls or texts from someone I do not know, I immediately say, do not call or text this number because I don't want anything to do with people I don't know. Furthermore, on the computer, I do have a Facebook account. I also have a fan page for people who would like to join. But on my personal Facebook page, I did not have one until this year, and it was like a big thing for me. And I keep the friends on my list are people I know I won't friend anyone I don't know, which a lot of people do, and I won't accept friend requests from people I know who are cruel and might post something mean on my Facebook page.
Okay, so the book has just come out, and it's summertime now, but when you go back to school, are you worried that you might be bullied for writing a book about how to survive bullying?
Well, I think that I'm not worried about being bullied about writing a book, but I have had, you know, if someone's being annoying, I say, hey, knock it off. They're like, Bridget, don't bully. You're the one who wrote a book about bullying. Like, I'm not bullying. I'm telling you to knock it off. So, I mean, some people think it's kind of annoying, but I don't think people will bully me for writing the book about bullying because I'd be able to point it out, and it would be hard for them to get around the whole, I'm not bullying. I'd be like, yes, you are.
So in the book, Dory Witt's Guide to Surviving Bullies, you wrote Dory as sort of this geeky, nerdy, dorky kid who was very nice and came from a great family and all that. Do you think that a lot of kids will identify with that person?
That's what I hope. I think she's someone everybody can identify with because, I mean, not everybody's a geek or kind of dorky or nerdy, but we all have a side of us that is, you know, different than everybody else because Dory is definitely different. And she embraces that, which is what everybody should do, which sometimes as adolescents it's difficult for us. And it took me a long time to embrace my, you know, geeky side. And Dory is someone who, just like everybody else, has feelings. And sometimes she doesn't know how to deal with them. And I hope that when people read them, they'll see how Dory deals with them. And then from Dory's two cents, they'll see maybe this is how we should have dealt with them.
If you're a mom or a dad or grandma, grandpa, and you have a kid that has experienced bullying or you're concerned about it, it's a great book, Dory Witt's Guide to Surviving Bullies by author Bridget Berman. Bridget, just 15, wrote the book when she was 14. And Bridget, when you talked to the other kids and you said, hey, I'm going to write this book about bullying, what did you discover in terms of what kinds of kids are bullies?
Well, not only according to my surveys, but according to research I did, bullies are usually confident, hot-headed, and surprisingly, they're quite popular, which is weird because we always hear about bullies either being, you know, the loner who steals the lunch money from people or hides out in the bathroom. But really, it comes to the point where you have two different types of popular. You have popular as in the real definition of popular. You know, they're genuinely liked. A lot of people like them. And then not everywhere, but in some schools, you have popular as in the people who are quite mean. But for some reason, they have, you know, tons of minions who like them for their meanness. And really, what these people do is they thrive off of the attention that they get. And because their peers don't tell them to stop, they think that their actions are okay, which is why it's important to use group correction. And group correction is when basically you have, usually the whole group isn't a bully. There has to be one or two people who don't like what's going on, but they don't say anything because they're afraid they're going to be kicked out of the group. And all it takes is usually one or two people to say something. Let's say in a group of three, two people say to the one person, hey, you know what? This behavior isn't okay. We should stop. You can't talk about someone like this. You can't beat someone up. You can't cyberbully them like this. It's not okay. It's not right. Then the one person might rethink their actions and go, okay, you know, all my followers don't think this is okay. This, maybe I should stop or else I won't have any friends. And often that tactic works.
Great advice from Bridget Berman, the author of Dory Witt's Guide to Surviving Bullies, available at dorywitt.com. That's DoriWitt, dorywitt.com. The bookstore is everywhere. Do you think it's worse for boys or girls in terms of bullying?
I don't think worse for boys or girls. I think both sexes have different types of bullying, and sometimes it's different. According to my research, it's more prevalent among boys to have physical bullying. But lately, as you might have seen on the news or, you know, heard, there's been physical bullying among girls. And it seems it's more prevalent with gossiping among girls than in boys, but, you know, girls and boys both gossip, and girls can gossip about boys. And so really, but really it seems that gossiping's more for girls and physical bullying's more for boys. But cyberbullying, definitely, it is just horrible for both boys and girls. And it's something that's really changing the form of bullying, because before you used to have, give me your lunch money, that girl's fat, but now it's on the Internet. And what's on the Internet, there forever.
And the Internet is the ultimate equal opportunity offender, I guess. Bridget Berman is our guest today. The book is Dory Witt's Guide to Surviving Bullies. And how has your life changed since you released this book? I know you've done some speaking engagements. You've done some media interviews. Tell me about what kinds of fun and interesting things have you taken part in since you wrote the book.
Well, recently spoken with the Anti-Defamation League here in Boston, and I'm going to be speaking at the bill about the bill for anti-bullying, which is great. I'm very excited about that. And I've also been able to really step back and notice things I hadn't noticed before, whether in my life or just all over, and set my priorities straight. Really, I want to help people. I want to go to schools and talk to people and talk to students and say, you know, there is help out there. A lot of times we feel we're in a, you know, it's desperation. There's no one out there. It's over. You know, we should just end it. But really, that's not true. No one is ever alone. And that was really the original title for my book.
No one is ever alone. That's great. Now, you mentioned a bill, an anti-bullying bill that's going to be introduced. Tell me more about that.
Well, the Anti-Defamation League has been working for quite some time on creating more, for schools, educational tools so that they can deal with bullying correctly, so that teachers are trained. And when they see bullying, they can stop it. Because in schools, of course there's people who want to stop, teachers who want to help and stop it, but they haven't been trained. They don't know what to do. You know, sometimes if you talk to a counselor, maybe they'll say, you know, you should just ignore it, honey. It's going to get better. But when they say that, that's because that's what they've been taught to do. They don't know what else to say. And so that's why it's helpful when you have programs such as that are shown in the Anti-Defamation League's bill that will be helpful for teachers to deal with bullying in schools, and it will actually make it mandatory in Massachusetts if it's passed.
And you might be involved in that. That would be a pretty cool thing to be on the ground floor of, huh?
Yes, definitely amazing. I'm so excited.
Bridget Berman is the author of Dory Witt's Guide to Surviving Bullies. And, Bridget, when you're not holding focus groups with other 14-year-olds and writing books and speaking in public and working on getting bills passed in state legislatures, what do you do for fun?
Well, for fun, I really like astronomy. So we have a small little telescope at my house, so I like looking through that. And I do take an astronomy class at school, so, you know, I'm involved with that and robotics. So that's really fun for me, the geek that I am. And I really like reading as well. Reading's fun for me, and just, you know, hanging out in the sun. We have a lot of rain lately, so enjoying the sunny days of summer.
Very good. All right, we've got time for a few questions. Is it okay if we take a few calls?
Oh, definitely.
All right, very good. The first one is in our chat room here at WAMS Radio. It's from Sarah in Kansas, and Sarah wants to know, and I think this is a great question, when you wrote the book, you were researching the book, did you get into racial bullying at all?
There's a lot of research with different agencies from states and government. And it's horrible to think that people will bully because of racial differences. But surprisingly, a lot of times that is what's behind bullying. Sometimes, you know, their skin's darker than me. They worship different things. And besides racial bullying, also there is bullying for, like, if you're gay or lesbian, people have started using that as insults. It's not an insult. It's just your sexual orientation. And that's not right at all. And I know that the Anti-Defamation League, if there's racial bullying, basically, like, if there's hate crimes, that you definitely should contact them, because that is what they specialize in is dealing with hate crimes. Because
so there's two levels, then, it sounds like. There's the garden variety bullying that pretty much everyone experiences or watches experience at some point. But then it crosses a line, doesn't it, where it becomes an illegal, very dangerous thing.
It does. And sometimes it's difficult to say, well, is this illegal? Who should I contact? Should I contact the police? But it's not okay to create crimes, to bully someone, or to act in inappropriate ways against someone because of their sexual orientation, because of their skin color, because of their religion, because any different that's different from yourself. It's important. We teenagers of America and the whole world need to realize that we need to respect that everybody's different and tolerate that. You don't have to like everybody, but you do need to respect them. And by respect, I mean just because, you know, they have a bigger shoe size than you doesn't mean you can make fun of them. Just because they shop at a different store than you, or their skin's a different color, or they worship different holidays, doesn't mean you have the right to say, you're weird, you're a freak, you know, physically hurt them, attack them. It doesn't give you the right. And many times, people who do attack others for racial differences or religions or sexual orientation have something they feel uncomfortable about inside themselves. And so they take it out on others.
Bridget Berman is our guest today on WAMS, talking about her new book on bullying. And she has been through it all. She's 15 now, wrote the book when she was 14, right in the middle of those middle school years. Time for one more question from Michael in Virginia. He's listening today online and says that, Bridget, you tell kids to talk to a grown-up about it, but when is the right time to tell somebody or not tell somebody? What's the right move there? And he goes on to say, you know, am I not just tattling?
That's something that's difficult because we all tell an adult we're tattling. Well, yes, to a point, if someone, like, pokes you and says, ha-ha, or something, just, like, something, like, trivial, which trivial really would be something that doesn't hurt your feelings, then, right. You know, going and saying, you know, blah, 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 that's tattling. Tattling is when someone does something that makes you feel bad about yourself, it hurts your feelings, and when you tell them to stop, they don't stop. That's the point of you're not tattling because you've done what you can, and you should never feel embarrassed to get an adult involved. I have gotten adults involved many times, and trust me, it makes the problem better, or creates a solution, not a problem. And furthermore, the times that I didn't get adults involved, I wish I had, because the problem just escalates, and it comes to a point where it's about to explode, and you don't know how to deal with it. And so don't let anyone say, you know, you're being a tattletale. You're just going to tattle. You know, that's not true. That's not true. The reason someone says that is because they're afraid you're going to tell somebody. If someone's saying you're just being oversensitive, it doesn't matter, you're just, come on, just deal with it, that's not right. It's because they're afraid you're going to tell someone, and because you know what, you said something, and they realize they have to stop. And when they don't stop, you need to talk to an adult.
We're almost out of time, about 60 seconds left. The number you would tell folks who are listening today who are concerned that their kids may be victims of bullying, what should moms and dads do?
Well, if you're worried your child is a victim of bullying, notice signs. For instance, they keep saying, I'm sick, I don't want to go to school. If your child is a student who loves school and all of a sudden doesn't want to go to school, or, you know, doesn't usually have a problem with school, there's one problem, there's probably bullying going on. Or, you know, they didn't prepare for a test, but usually bullying. Second, if your child becomes moody, locks themselves in their room, tears up family pictures, doesn't want to go out anywhere in public with you, which is, you know, kind of normal for a teenager, but not really, then you probably should look into it. There's probably bullying. If your child starts talking about ways to kill themselves, you should think about bullying. And also, if your child ever mentions anything about bullying to you or having their feelings hurt, realize that when a teenager talks to you about bullying, don't ever say to ignore it, because it's past the point of ignoring.
Fantastic advice from Bridget Berman, the author of Dory Witt's Guide to Surviving Bullies, available now in bookstores everywhere and at dorywitt.com. Bridget, thanks for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Best of luck with this one.